Brent Baird of College Sports Notebook, First Coast News, also co-host of SEC and Helping. Brent, how are you doing today?
Well, I am. I'm doing fine. Waiting on a. I would say a week from tonight. That's some of it. We've got our last college bowl game tomorrow night with LSU. A lot of people have probably forgotten about that. This Caleb Williams transfer is, frankly, quite shocking. Frankly, Drew, that. The Oklahoma quarterback's put his name in the transfer portal, but we need to also remember that doesn't always mean that players who do that are transferring. This is probably more about a leverage negotiation than it is anything else.
Yeah, and he mentioned, of course, in his, written out spiel on Twitter that he is still going to consider Oklahoma, but he's just surveying his options. Of course, there's a lot of change that's gone on with Oklahoma, but in the end, do you actually think he's going to leave, or do you think that he may be wiser to actually stay at Oklahoma?
The reality is he has got leverage that I don't know anyone else who has. I mean, even if you've got a really good quarterback, someone would consider him. But I think with this NIL, what we've got here is the reality of he wants a better deal, and this is how he can get it. But I mean, if he does want to go, he will not have any lack of suitors by any means, shall we say. I just think that surprised a lot of people when they saw that a little bit ago.
And according to his dad, he told Pete Thamel that the most important thing for him is professional development. So maybe looking for a more offensive-minded head coach. I mean, I know that Brent Venables is coming in with the defensive background that he's got. It'll be interesting just to see what he decides to do, because I mean, if you're Oklahoma, I feel like I would be a little bit nervous as well, because you got Spencer Rattler that leaves, Caleb Williams leaves, and who in the world do you have starting for you next year? I think that is a good question.
Well, it is. Now, the other thing I think is odd about this is you've got Jeff Levy coming in from Ole Miss, who did a really good job there. I mean, goodness, if you can't learn something from him, I mean, that would be frankly, quite unusual, but yeah. At the same time, we'll see where that develops. But it's a, goodness, you know what Jeff Levy's done with Matt Corral and how good he was. So, as usual, there's always more to this than meets the eye.
Yeah, and speaking of Matt Corral real quick, I do want to say that hopefully the injury is not as bad as it seemed. I haven't seen anything, but him going out with what seemed to be an ankle injury or a lower foot injury, really a bummer to see, I think, more than anything. Of course, this made Twitter explode in the debate on whether or not players should opt out for the NFL or whether they should not. Of course, I think it's a personal decision, and Matt Corral made it seem that way when he decided he was going to play, but you know, having a player be injured of his magnitude, potentially being a first round pick, I think that it begs even more of the question of should these players who are going to be first round picks in all likelihood, should they actually sit out just because of the possibility of what happened to Matt Corral?
No, he made the decision. I admire him for it. He wanted to play. With his teammates, he wanted to play in the game. And by the way, it's only an ankle injury. It's basically a sprained ankle is what it amounts to. So he will be fine. And from what I've learned is if they would have been playing in a playoff game, that he could actually come back in the game. I mean, that same thing happened to him earlier in the year. Was that against Tennessee? He got hurt. They taped him up. He came back. Yes. But, look, to me, for the game, the good of the game, I like to see these guys play. I'm glad that he did. But again, it was his decision to play, and he told his teammates, and as I've seen on Twitter from several guys who are players, that we don't want to miss one more opportunity to play with our teammates.
Well, and I think too, the fact that these bowl games are devalued because guys opt out, I think that's one way to look at it. But if you look at it from another perspective, this is a chance for certain players. We have the LSU game coming up tomorrow. There's an opportunity for guys who are seniors who are looking to be drafted next year, where if they go out and they have a star-studded performance, of course it's not a very big, you know, high-profile opponent in Kansas State, but still, if you go out and you have a really good game, it can only help your case in terms of your draft stock, and of course also, you know, being able to play with your teammates and be there for, you know, your brothers, if you will, I think is something that, as you said, I'm with you in the fact that I think it's very admirable.
Well, and also practical, if you're going to be projected like a third or fourth round pick, to be able to come back and have more tape on you than what you've got in a bowl game situation is also a smart move. But again, I'm not interested so much in the NFL as I am for the good of the game. And the more these guys we can get to play in bowl games, the better the game in general is going to be. And that's why we need to expand the playoffs and make more of these games a playoff game. And that would encourage, I think, more of these guys to really reconsider opting out instead of opting out.
Do you think there's ever a chance that if we do expand, say a guy is a quarterback of the 12th team, and you know you might have to play three or four games to get to the championship, do you think we'd ever see an opt-out in the playoff from a team in the playoff?
I'm concerned that's going to happen. Now, obviously, if you're playing for something, we would have less of that. But if you're not, that there is always that chance. I hope it doesn't happen, but a lot of it's going to depend upon obviously a whole number of things. But if you got a chance to play for a championship, I mean, I need people to get a chance to do that. So that's going to be one of the really good things about expanding the playoff and how important that will be.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of the playoff, we have two games that I feel like we kind of knew the results going into it, but I don't know if many of us expected, you know, Georgia to trounce Michigan like they did. How surprising were those performances? I don't think Cincinnati and Alabama, that game surprised too many people, but I think Georgia beating Michigan 34-11 wasn't necessarily on everybody's minds.
No, it wasn't. I think everybody thought that would be very close in many ways, but at the same time, Georgia won that game by Stetson Bennett, who now is 13-3. He was an amazing 16-21 for 234 in the first half, spread the ball around to nine different receivers. See, I think Bennett will play the whole time against Alabama. I don't think JT Daniels is going to play unless Bennett gets hurt. And probably the biggest thing that Georgia did or maybe didn't do is to allow Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo, those defensive ends from Michigan, to really cause him any problems. I mean, he was zero sacks, which is incredible. They held Michigan to, who was averaging 37 points per game, to three until they got a late touchdown, but just an amazing performance to a Michigan team that was good. They won the Big Ten, but let's be honest, they still just do not have the players that an Alabama, Georgia has.
Yeah, and I think it's more, I think, you know, the game plan coming in, I know obviously you mentioned they had Michigan had no sacks, but, you know, going into that, the game plan coming in, it seemed to be get the ball out of Stetson's hands. We're not going to let Aiden Hutchinson or Ajabo even get to Stetson. And if they happen to, Stetson's got the legs to be able to make a play and you know, make some plays with his feet, which he did a couple of times. I really thought that on top of Stetson playing well, Todd Monken's ideas and the game plan coming in to get the bubble screens going and the blocking to get, you know, Cook going and Zamir White was what was really genius of them, and they really caught Michigan flat-footed, I think, in the beginning of that game, because if you go up 14-0 against a Michigan team that necessarily isn't built to play from behind, I think you put yourself in a phenomenal position to be able to win that football game, and that was what happened.
Well, and just the reverse happened in the Alabama game for Georgia. Georgia's not built to get behind either. So yeah. When they do, they're in some trouble. The reality is, against Michigan, the game's over at halftime. The people thought maybe Michigan might rally, but I don't think there's any way that that's going to happen. So, to George's credit, they ended it early because Michigan, and look, we can't take anything away from them and what they did in the season that they had. They deserve to be there. They made a lot of progress. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they will be able to build on what they did this year. But at the same time, yeah, so Georgia ended that one early.
Yeah, and I think in terms of – I saw you retweet a post about, you know, the projected win totals compared to what actually happened. Overall, your synopsis of the season, what stands out the most to you? Of course, we haven't quite gotten to the national title game, but through all the bowl games basically besides one up to the national title game, what is your overall synopsis of the season and also the SEC in general and just the state of college football after this year?
I think for the SEC, we saw some teams in the bowl games continue their rebuilding process. Arkansas right now looks amazing, don't they, Drew? I mean, the job that Pittman has done is just unbelievable. Tennessee should have won that game.
Crazy ending, wasn't it?
But it was. They were denied at the end, and that was quite controversial in a lot of ways. And Kentucky is another team. Listen, there were projections for Kentucky that Kentucky would win six games. I mean, they almost doubled that, frankly. Mm-hmm. In the way that they played. South Carolina played really well also, but I think it really kind of shows really how good this league is from top to bottom. People say it's top heavy. Well, to a degree, but yet the teams will meet in the middle. But I think overall, what it also tells you is the teams that recruit the best, and that's Alabama and Georgia. And as much as I want to see a playoff, we expand. We still may have a situation where Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, in some form or fashion, are going to be the ones who end up in your Final Four, even if we go to 12.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. So, and with that being said, who is your pick to win the national title? You have Georgia or you got Alabama?
I'm leaning toward Alabama right now. That might change between the time we talk in a week.
yeah.
But I still think Georgia's got weaknesses in that secondary they've got to be able to deal with. Bama has the better quarterback, even though I really appreciate what Stetson Bennett has been able to do. I think it's going to be much closer, certainly than it was in the beginning. But and right now, regardless of the winner, these two teams are going to be right in the thick of it next year, particularly with Alabama. They've got, and their starters against Cincinnati, they've basically got three seniors, two on offense, one on defense, and that is it. So, yeah, it's gonna be amazing how good both these teams will continue to be.
He's Brent Baird, a college sports notebook, college football analyst for First Coast News, also a co-host of the SEC and Helping podcast. Brent, appreciate the time as always. You have a good week, and enjoy the national title game. I'm sure we'll talk to you about it on Monday next week before the game, but you have a good rest of the week, and we'll talk to you then.
You guys too. Take care.